Okay, good morning, everyone. Does it work without the mic? People in the back? Yeah, okay. So if you guys want to use the mic or not, either way. So as Terry said, my name is Serena Clayton. I am the director of the California School Health Centers Association, or the statewide association of school-based health centers. And I started in my role about 10 years ago, and over the last 10 years, I would say one of the things that we have seen really flourishing in school-based health centers is the work that they've done involving youth. And I think school-based health centers are in such a great position to work with youth because they're right there on a school campus and they have access to youth all day long. So it's really a pleasure to moderate this session and to get to showcase some of the amazing work that's happening in different schools across the state. So I'll introduce our panelists. The first person who's going to speak is Kathleen Gutierrez. And she is somebody who is very dear to me because I met her when she was a junior in high school. She now works for us. She's our youth program manager. She's been involved with school-based health centers and youth advocacy. She's really spearheaded a lot of the work that we've done with youth, and she's quite an amazing person. After that, we'll hear from Julio, who is 16, and today is his birthday. And he is a junior at Cesar Chavez High School in Stockton. From those of you who are out of state, Stockton is inland from here, about 2 hours? You guys come about 2 hours? And he's been working with two of his student colleagues. And can you guys stand up so that people can see you? Leo and Jasmine. And they're here as well. So they might answer some questions. And then after that, we're going to hear from Jonathan Whitford. Jonathan is a teacher at Cesar Chavez High School. He's the chair of the Health Small Learning Community, which Julio is part of, and he teaches health education and health professions. And then finally, we'll hear from Dale. Dale, I've known you for so long, and I still can't say your last name.
Magalong.
Dale is a fourth year at UC Davis. He's been involved in our work with youth advocacy as a high school student at John Marshall High School in Los Angeles. And when he graduated, he joined our statewide youth board. And he is majoring in human development and Asian American studies and wants to go on to get an MPH, yay, and a master's in Asian American studies. So I want to encourage everyone to find a seat. And please, this is going to be, we really want, this one right here, oh thank you, okay, thank you so much for moving in, that was really, really generous of you. And I really want to encourage everyone. It's a small room. It's a small group. I want to make sure that we have dialogue. I want to hear from people. I suspect there are a number of people here who have their own experience working with youth or who may be youth themselves. And so I really want to make sure that we have a dialogue. And I also have to acknowledge Marcia, who's in the back.
That's
Marcia.
Right.
Wait, raise your hand, Marcia. Marcia works at a school-based health center here in San Francisco, and she has done amazing work with youth at her school. And if she's still here at the end and anyone has burning questions about engaging youth, you can also talk to Marcia. So, let me turn it over to Kat.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Nice crowd. My name is Kathleen Gutierrez. I go by Kat. And on this panel, I am presenting on school-based health centers as innovators of public health champions. Very briefly, I'd just like to say that I have no relationships to disclose as part of this presentation. I'm in a nonprofit. Come on. I really like to start off by explaining how I got here, and I really need to say that I'm rooted in youth engagement in every possible way. I think this public health career that I took really started 10 years ago when I first walked into my school-based health center in Los Angeles. I also attended John Marshall High School. As an uninsured young person with no consistent primary care, I think it was a very big, important milestone for me to actually get school-based health services on my own watch for free or for low cost. And so as I kind of moved through the ropes as a patient at the school-based health center in Los Angeles, I became a peer health educator with some amazing health educators in that clinic. and then entered into more youth development programs that were really spearheaded and put in that health center to engage young people as public health champions. When I moved up to the Bay for college, I started working for the California School Health Centers Association as part-time staff, and have really been there ever since. And so now as full-time staff, I really get to see newer generations of young people coming up through high school, into college, or into the workforce, and really holding public health dear to their hearts. So this is me doing peer health education in like some English classroom long ago about health centers being awesome. I still have this sweater. It's still I know. I'm really proud of that. And I really owe it to not only the health educators that believed in me then, but even to the friends who kept me in the program and who really believed that this was something that we needed to do. And a lot of them, even today, are still in public health, and I'd love to talk about them at some point. So when I started working for CSHC in 2007, we were doing a lot of youth technical assistance. How do we teach school-based health centers to engage young people? After all, young people are the center of a school-based health center, right? Right? They're the patients. Everything should be youth-led, youth-driven to some capacity. As a policy and technical assistance organization, though, we weren't walking the talk. We could train other people, but how much of it were we really doing on our own? Of course, we're not a direct service organization, but we needed to really see what it would look like to have young people engaged in our organization. And so in 2007, we started the Youth Board, and all of these young people were just newly graduated out of high school. They all came from different school-based health centers in California, and they all wanted to stay involved some way. All of them were patients at one point and felt like they needed to be there. They needed to make sure that other young people had those opportunities too. A few of these young folks were from San Francisco over at Marsh's site. This young man's from South Los Angeles. This was my friend in high school. He's now actually with TCE. And so we started this program in 2007, and now we're entering our sixth year, and I think we have seen so much progress, not only as an organization, not only as staff, but really putting an example in the field, even nationwide, for what youth engagement should look like, even for a policy and technical assistance organization. So a school-based health center, as some of you might know, is kind of like having a doctor's office on a K-12 campus, right? You might see primary health services, dental health services, mental health, reproductive health, the whole slew of it, right? Most oftentimes, it's free and low cost. So California has about 200 school-based health centers, and almost 40 youth engagement programs. And when I mean youth engagement programs, youth are coming in not because they're only patients, but because they're health educators, because they're promoting the clinic, because they're doing advocacy. And this is amazing, right? This is happening nationwide, but I'm going to speak more within the California context, okay? So school-based health centers make sense. This is a young person. I think this was at a Fremont High School in Oakland. She's talking a little bit about what the health center has going on, educating other folks to come in. What I'm really going to talk about right now is the kind of model programs that we can see in school-based health centers that engage young people to cultivate them as public health champions, right? Again, school-based health centers consistently see young people, and they're preventative. These are really ingraining a certain kind of practice in young people that they can take in for the rest of their lives, right? Even as we might take the job that I hope you don't leave.
That we're leaving.
Oh, that's too funny. And I also really want to take the rest of this presentation, and I want you to hold into your heart how we really want to increase youth leadership, youth engagement, and youth empowerment through these models, okay? So, we see a lot of peer health education at these school-based health centers. In many ways, peer health ed is the entry point for a lot of young people who are patients in the health center who also want to see other young people educated about certain health issues. How do I wear a condom? Where do I go for mental health services? How do I recognize if my romantic relationship is starting to become destructive or unhealthy? This specific group is from Alameda, that little island in the East Bay. They had these trigger campaigns, and they've been going on for about 5 years now. They select a public health topic, and they create a trigger around it. They make it a hot topic for a week. So I believe a few years ago, they selected healthy relationships. The years before that, they selected drug abuse. And so again, this is happening yearly. Is anyone familiar with Tulare County in California? Yeah, Tulare had, I want to say, the second highest teen birth rate nationally per capita. And it is amazing to see a room of 80 young people being trained in condom usage, HIV, STI awareness and education, pregnancy prevention on a Friday evening. All these young people, these 80 young people, come from different schools in Tulare County. And that's just an example of how the school-based health center really tries to train so many people to take on this, like, promotores model, as some of you might heard, right? And educate other young people. Sure, a trigger. It's a trigger. They kind of wanted to set a spark. That's why they called it a trigger, right? So what is it, the spark that's going to catch people's attention about a specific health issue? And really, young people are going to know what that spark looks like better than even what I might know now, right? So they called it a trigger for the campaign. Thanks for asking. And by the way, please stop me at any point to ask a question if you need any elaboration. Public health advocacy, this is a picture of Marsha, who's sitting back there. And when I talk about public health advocacy, this is where young people are also engaged in making broad systems change for the benefit of other young people, not only on their schools, but maybe even an entire school district. So I bring this picture up because Marsha was part of a team in San Francisco Unified School District that essentially changed policy on minor consent rights education. Previously, health education classrooms didn't need to teach about minor consent rights, right? What minors are entitled to under state and California law. Because of the work of young people, because of the work of Marsha and amazing allies, the young people were able to change district policy. And since then, have been able to kind of grow new leaders to not only train youth on what their rights are, but also train health education staff and staff in FUSD about what young people are entitled to. And I know Marsha can speak at length if you ever want to talk to her about it. I also bring this photo up because at one point she said that the Youth Advisory Board, this group, was the best thing that's ever happened to her health center. I'm quoting you. We also see it more locally, right? Just general school health advocacy. This is Dale, right here. I want to say maybe 5 years ago. This is more local work that was happening with school-based health centers down in Los Angeles, South LA, and near downtown Los Angeles, simply educating the community on what these school-based health centers were. I think you had invited certain local legislators, right? Right.
The state superintendent.
Yeah. And this is the state superintendent from years back, right? Again, another kind of example of how young people are learning not only kind of just school health skills, but again, advocacy. And advocacy is a huge part of public health, right? How are we going to make systems change if we don't have allies in the political world and then we're not political ourselves? Yes. Health promotion is another great and simple way that we've seen young people engaged in school-based health centers. So this picture is actually taken at Hercules High School up in Contra Costa County. Very similarly, to health education. Health promotion is all about getting folks in. A lot of school-based health centers cannot be sustained without seeing a certain number of clients. They really require that they see a certain number of students from the actual school. What better way than to have clients themselves, young people, say, hey, this place is trusted, this place is amazing, this place has amazing staff, you should come in. Why not? This was a health fair that the young people had organized for the campus. In Contra Costa County, there are 6 school-based health centers at the 6 comprehensive high schools. All of them now do health fairs. All of them now engage youth in some capacity. All of them even created a district-level youth group to make sure that school health is on the radar of everyone in the district and not just at the schools. I put more advisory work, and so kind of like how we hear about student advisory boards, this is where young people can actually give their input on how the clinic or the school-based health center is actually run. What's working? What doesn't work? Should the front office staff be a little bit nicer? Should the waiting room be cleaner? Should there be music in the hall before people get in for their appointment? This is where young people are taking on that advisory role. I use this picture of this man right here. His name is Pedro Naranjo, who's doing a lot of amazing work to get young men engaged in public health. This is a field, of course, that's dominated by women, cisgendered women, right? He is working to get young men of color involved in public health. These young people are part of the Ashland Youth Center project in Ashland, which is an unincorporated area of Alameda County. If anyone knows what an unincorporated area means, it simply means it's under-resourced, and there's hardly any funds going into the actual town. They're developing a youth center that will not only be this place to kick it and to hang out, but will also offer comprehensive health services for young people. I have some people here from La Clinica de la Raza who are actually the health service provider there. Hi, Gizan. And these young people are the staff. They're being trained as the staff of this health center. So not only are they taking an advisory role for how this health center is going to come up in the community, they're going to be working there. And they're here actually on a visit, I believe, with Representative Stark's office in Alameda County, talking a little bit about the health center. When this huge HRSA grant came out for health centers and the construction, they went out and met with Representative Stark's office to get his okay and backing. And finally, I'm just talking a little bit about research. Research is a huge component, again, of youth leadership and training young people to kind of learn basic skills of the scientific method to base our reasons for why we need either school-based health centers or certain kinds of health services. Again, no investigation, no right to speak. And this is something that we learn in public health, and this is something that we make sure that we can teach our young people. This is the group from Cesar Chavez. There's Julio. To take it back just a little bit, CSHC, our organization, embarked on a project with seven different communities in California to train young people in community-based participatory research. CBPR is a very sexy thing these days. CBPR is even better when young people are engaged in it and selecting the issues that they want to look into and tying it back to the health in their communities. Right. So we took on this model of cascading youth leadership. Dale's going to talk a little bit about it. But we had our youth board, right? Our youth board is more like college age, 18 to 22. We trained them in CBPR, understanding the basics, the nitty-gritty, and then they trained their high school teams on CBPR, right? I mean, as much as we'd like to think that CBPR is something that we can digest, it's still not that digestible. So if young people can start learning to teach each other, they can definitely try to learn and teach other high school students about the practice, about how to actually complete really effective research projects. At the end of the project last year, we had all of the teams come up with a kind of nice summary paper. And at the seven sites, we saw, again, different topics from mental health services to clinic usage, sexual health education, teen pregnancy prevention. This specific report came from Life Academy High School in East Oakland, where students looked at, which one is their question here? Why are young people engaging in unprotected sex? And so after they finished creating the summary report, they presented it to school-based health center staff. And they came up with a certain number of recommendations. For instance, have one-on-one counseling as drop-in. Young people find it to be a complete barrier to have to make an appointment to just ask a question about how to use a condom or where to get plan B. They just want to find out where. So have in drop-in one-on-one counseling. They also asked for youth-only hours. This specific school-based health center services the whole community, right? So a lot of young people are actually quite afraid if they bump into an auntie, their mama, their cousin in the health center, and they're asking for plan B. So they asked, you know what, can we just have some youth-only hours, because really that's going to make a big difference for young people feeling safe in this space. And then as their third recommendation, they asked for better condoms. But this simply is because they believe that other young people have a lot of brand loyalty. And so when young people only hear about Trojan, they only hear about whatever, whatever, they're not going to trust a lot of the condoms that we might disseminate in health centers, right? But it's, you know, it's a very valid recommendation that should be listened to. We saw some other amazing novel recommendations. So for instance, at Richmond High School in Contra Costa County, if any of you are familiar with Richmond, it has high rates of youth-on-youth violence, right? And so mental health is a really big concern for the students at Richmond High School. And so students said, hey, we think that, one, there should be more social workers on the campus, and that at the beginning of the year, the social workers should meet students in the classroom. They should say hi. They should introduce themselves. It's only a right that young people know their clinicians going into a setting, right? If you're in the middle of crisis, it's not that easy to just kind of flood and open your heart to someone who you haven't met for the first time, who doesn't look like you, who doesn't speak like you. So they said, just have a meet and greet. That's the most that we ask. And from those recommendations, the school-based health center actually placed another social worker at the site because they realized that having a long wait list for counseling was actually doing much more harm to the students at Richmond High than any good. Right. If you have any more questions about these awesome recommendations, you can also look at our website. But I also am happy to talk at length about what these young people came up with last year. I close my section with this picture. It was of last year's youth board. This is our fifth cohort. And I close with them because I think they are the root of my humility in many, many ways. And I don't think I would be in this field if it weren't for the ability to continually work with young people who I know are going to carry this work forward. Some of these young folks are from the Central Valley, Los Angeles, the Bay, and I think they push me to carry on this work with a lot of humility because it is so different working with young people than it is working with adult population. And before I start crying, because crying is what I do, I really just hope that you kind of carry this with you and understand that, you know, again, we are very privileged to be in this place. We are very privileged to have a certain amount of education to learn about inequities and social determinants of health and what's going on. But really, it's about the young people who are going to really take that role, because as much as we'd like to serve them, we also want to make sure that at some point they can be the ones in our place at some point too. And with that, I close. For more information, please visit our website. And I give it over now to Julio, who can talk a little bit more. Oh, sure. Okay. Any questions? And I didn't cry.
I work with the school district in Palm Beach County, Florida, and I just was interested in how these centers are funded and also what requirements there are. You mentioned a little bit about minor consent. Mm-hmm. So how do you do consent here?
Right. That's a great question. And so the question up here was from someone from Florida who was asking about funding for school-based health centers and also how you kind of finagle with minor consent in these school-based health centers, working within the context of a school district. I think Serena would actually provide a really great answer for that.
I'll just give a real quick answer because I don't want to detract from the youth focus of the session. So school-based health centers in California are funded through a variety of mechanisms. We don't have a state funding stream like a lot of states, but we have Medi-Cal, there's sort of general reimbursement, there's foundation grants, there's school district contributions, kind of a potpourri of things, unfortunately. We wish we had a nice state funding stream. And then on minor consent, we actually have really good laws here in California. Minors can consent to reproductive health, mental health, substance abuse services, more or less from the age of 12 up. So that's not the case in a lot of states, but we're very fortunate here in California that we have that ability.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Yes, question in the back with the blue.
How does it, how do you find it affect culture and
I think that's a great question. And we were actually supposed to be partnering with a teacher from Oakland Unified School District, who's actually talk about the Public Health Academy that's coming up on the school and the integration of the school-based health center with the rest of the campus. So I can talk about that at length, maybe towards the end. And I'll make sure to touch on that. I think I saw one more hand. Past sessions of the youth board have met around 3 times a year. It's a little bit logistically difficult, but a lot of our work has to happen more locally. Yeah. Great. Okay, sure. So I'm going to hold the question. I'm going to hand it over to Julio now, who is actually a participant in our program last year on CBPR.
Hi,